Lori is just the worst. And I just really want her DNA to stop popping up in Judith. Like, she need to suppress that. She gotta get past that. I know that Lori wants to just rise up in her so bad, but she gotta suppress that.
Listening to the Two Dead Chicks podcast. I'm Melissa.
I'm Kia.
And today we are here to talk about season 9, episode 14, Scars. And today we, as it happens, we happen to be joined by a very special guest. You might have seen her a wonderful writing on bustle.com, and you might have heard her beautiful voice on the Nostalgia Mixtape podcast. Welcome to the show, Miss Ty Gooden.
Thank you guys so much. I'm so excited to be here. It's like my dream. I've been listening to the podcast for a while, and I always imagine that we're, you know, talking to each other and we're all in a room together. So, like, now that I'm here, I'm like, so excited.
We are so excited. And also, did you know that it was 1 year ago today that Ty's tweet was read on the Talking Dead?
I did not.
That is so crazy. The Bat Daryl tweet.
It is. I was like, oh my God, how crazy. 1 year to the day.
That's funny.
And you're on the show. So this is a big day for us. It's like our anniversary.
It is. And it was so awesome to do that live tweet too. I mean, just like interacting with everyone. It moves super fast, but
it does.
It was so much fun.
Oh man, I know yours was like hopping last night. Had to be.
It was
with that episode.
Yes.
But before we get into all of that good stuff, just a reminder, you can find us on all the socials. We are Two Dead Chicks on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can also find us online at twodeadchicks.com, which will take you right to our Tumblr page. You can also find us, find our podcast pretty much anywhere you can find your podcast. We are on Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Apple Podcasts. While you're there, leave us a rating and let us know what you think. We always do love to hear your feedback. And during the week, during the episodes, use hashtag TDCpod to keep up with our conversations. We love to hear what you guys are saying about the episodes and about our episodes, too. That's always very entertaining.
Yes, it is.
Always.
Ty, won't you tell the people a little bit about yourself, like, or yourself and your Walking Dead fandom, how you got into it, what you like about it?
Well, a little bit about me. I am a freelance writer. Like Mel mentioned, I've been a TV writer for Bustle for probably about a year now. But I've had a chance. I've been fortunate to write for so many different awesome places. I do a little bit for Sci-Fi, for Hypable, for Geek and Sundry, just a whole list of places because I've been doing it for a while. And I came into the Walking Dead fandom. I was a latecomer. So I think I started watching on Netflix, trying to catch up with the live tweets and everything that people were doing around season 5. So I did like a big, massive like Netflix binge. And then I was able to actually start live tweeting with everyone else when season 6 came out. Awesome. And then you guys podcast, I think I found you probably about 2 years ago. Now, I'm not even sure if it's been that long, but I mean, it's been quite a while. I was putting some word out there and I was like, I want a podcast about The Walking Dead that women host. Like, give me all the women podcasts you can give me. And so I listened to a whole bunch of them and you guys end up being my fave. So now I write about the show and I cover it for a few websites. I write a lot of stuff just praising Michonne because I love her so much. And that's pretty much how I got into it.
Nice. Aww. Well, there's a lot to love about Michonne.
Oh, yeah.
As we saw, I guess. I don't... Guys, this episode... Mm. It was a lot.
I still feel like I'm in shock a little bit. I don't know what happened to us last night, but what?
Well, it was very much hyped.
Yeah.
Not only within the last few days, but even back to when it was filmed, I remember people talking about there was this episode where there's just basically like all Michonne. Yeah. And how amazing the Nye's performance was. And so I was like, okay. I mean, I knew it was coming at some point. And then, you know, as the episodes start to get their titles and stuff like that, I was like, okay, there it is. So a lot of people saying this is like super dark. One of the darkest episodes of The Walking Dead. One of the best episodes of The Walking Dead. Something where you could watch where you didn't even necessarily need to be current with the show. Did it live up to the hype? How about you, Ty? Did it live up to the hype?
I think it was, as far as like the acting and everything like that, of course, it was well acted. Love Denai. Love the little girl that plays Judith now. She's an excellent actress. And just across the board, I think Denai has a way of elevating everyone she's in a scene with. So mm-hmm. I got it from that perspective that it was, you know, a good episode when you look at it from that. But the more I thought about the episode and sat with it after watching it, I was just like, I got more angry. Like, I guess got increasingly angry because I don't know what I was necessarily expecting, but I wasn't expecting this. And the whole issue of the violence and stuff against Michonne, which has been kind of like a recurring thing throughout her time on the show, I didn't like that at all. I just felt like it was a bit over the top and a little bit unnecessary. So it really left a bad taste in my mouth in the end.
Hmm. How about you, Melissa? Speaking of taste in your mouth.
Speaking of that. I'm with Ty on this. Like, I don't know what I was expecting, but I know this was not the thing that I was expecting.
Right.
And kind of, again, piggybacking on what she said about the violence against Michonne, and not just the violence against her, but the violence that she had to portray with the thing with the kids. Where the fuck are mm-hmm. you, Daryl? Why aren't you out here slicing and dicing some children?
I don't understand that he literally walked outside after she was finished, like, oh, hey.
Well, I see you handled everything. Ooh. Get the fuck
glad
out
we're
here,
all good
Daryl.
Now.
Why are you even here?
Right.
Why are you even here? Anyway. So there's that. And like I said on Twitter last night, like literally nobody on this entire show has lost more than Michonne has. Period.
No.
Like, mm-hmm. fight me on that. Like, it just, nobody has. It's just, I don't know. It just seems like cruel and unusual punishment to this character. And for all the hype, what a weird concept. Savage children just yeah. out here forming a savage children army. Okay, I guess. I guess. And it just happens to be led by one of her former BFFs. I don't even understand what just happened.
Right, right.
So I'm curious
yeah.
what you think.
Yeah, for me, it's maybe a combination of both of what you guys said, because I do think Maggie may be on par for losing the most people, as in she lost everybody. But I like what Ty said, it's just like, how many times we have seen Michonne get beat up? Like, she gets beat up by men. She gets beat up by women. She gets mm-hmm. beat up by kids. Like, she gets branded while she's pregnant. She gets punched. It's just like, what's happening? Like, you don't even see dudes get beat up on the show.
It's
like that
physical violence part that's getting me. Like, the emotional weight of going through the apocalypse, I can get that because everybody has gone through a whole bunch. I mean, everybody's lost a whole lot and everything. But for me, it's the physical violence against her. You don't see that against Carol and Maggie and the other women that are leading women on the show the way that you've seen it with Michonne. Like you said, she nearly got raped by the claimers or whoever those dudes mm-hmm. were, and the governor was going to torture and kill her back in like season 3 or 4, and then she got beat up by one of the trash lady people or somebody like that in one season, and now here she is getting branded while she's pregnant. It's like, enough is enough. It's just too much.
And again, it's not just like, you know, like a punch or two to the face. It's like obscene.
No, like bloodied.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, like, I'm trying to think of guys that got beat up like that. Like, Rick got his ass kicked by the governor that one time. And what, I mean, who else, like, what other guys have been just beaten like that? I feel like I don't remember.
Because even when Daryl was captured by the Saviors, he wasn't beaten like that. It was more of like a psychological thing.
Yeah. So, yeah, I didn't like it at all. I was sitting there like, really, is this what we're doing? And then, I mean, for all the hype, I just feel like I was still left with questions. Like, mm-hmm. why? I was like, I wrote in my notes, I have two questions. Did this episode actually explain why Hilltop hates Michonne and why Kingdom is cool with stealing from her?
Nope. Unless we still got no answers to the questions.
Unless they're mad at her for this, because I don't, and like, I'm like, how could you ever be upset with anyone for this?
Right. And I don't even think they know about it. Like,
they may not.
Yeah. I think they know as much as Alexandria as a whole knows, in that their kids got abducted and then they got returned. I don't think they know that she had to, that she went through all that. But even that's enough to me.
Exactly.
Like,
right. So if my child gets abducted, I'm going to lock it down.
Right.
Period. Like, as a mom, and me speaking from a mom's perspective, if something like that happens to my child, yeah, I'm locking the whole community down. I'm not letting any more people in because I don't want something like that to happen again. So even if they don't know all about all, like you said, all the killing and all the stuff like that, I'm still going to be very wary about who I want to bring around because they've been through that traumatic experience before.
Right. So I don't get it. Like, is it that she just is like, I'm not talking to nobody now? Is that why they're mad?
Right. And even if they were mad, like, you still mad after all these years? Because that was a long time ago if she was pregnant. Like, this wasn't that long after Rick left. Right. So I'm like, it's 6 years later and you still mad over this? Like, with a stank attitude? So you done had a stank attitude for 6 years, Tara? Seriously?
I also still don't understand how all these other people's kids got abducted, but it was Michonne that went looking for them. Like,
right.
Nobody else went.
Kids? What? You're just going to send the two of them out there. Her ass is pregnant. Yes. Okay?
Right.
And y'all's lazy asses are just at home just waiting for her to return your children.
Right.
I don't understand.
Like, bigly pregnant, too. Like, it's not even like a Maggie thing. It's like,
no, at this point, I'm not returning your children to you because you are too stupid to raise them.
But it was a good number of kids, too. Like,
it was, yeah.
And you're going to send two people? Crazy. Like, I mean, I get that it's Michonne and Daryl, but still, nobody else went. Aaron, right. Nobody.
Exactly. Like, anybody could have come in and helped and been an extra eye or whatever. Like, I know, obviously, they are the more qualified. She is the more qualified person. So I don't know what he was doing, honestly. I don't even know why he was there. But aside from that fact, yeah, I'm not returning to kids because you are unfit parents to raise them. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. I didn't like it. I didn't like that at all because I'm just like, I still don't know why everybody has attitude. And I really think it's because she's not, like, talking to everybody or, like, having visits or everything. I really think... Because that's the only difference. Because it doesn't necessarily affect them. Her not taking in new people doesn't affect them.
Right.
It's just maybe she's not going out and visiting as much.
Right.
And it's like, okay.
But wasn't Maggie like that in the beginning of the season? Where she was like, I'm going to worry about Hilltop and worry about me and mine. And nobody seemed to be mad or pissed off with Maggie about that. But y'all mad at Michonne.
Yep. And Maggie.
I'm not getting it.
She sure wasn't coming to visit. Judith either.
No. Like, nobody visits Judith.
So just like, okay, whatever. And then the second part, like, my other question was like, was this necessary? Like, I feel like this episode was not necessary. This doesn't reveal any new truths to me about life in the apocalypse. Like, we know life is hard. We know that you come into contact with people and you want to believe the best about them. And sometimes they try to eat you. And sometimes, you know, they try to indoctrinate you and have some, like, weird Mayberry life when actually they're having, you know, gladiator fights in the back. We know that, you know, that you meet people on the street, on the road, and they try to take half your stuff. Like, this is nothing new about the apocalypse to reveal any, like, new character trait.
Right.
It just seemed pointless.
Right.
It just seemed like, okay, yeah, stuff happens. We know. Right. Seasons 1-8, we know.
Uh-huh.
So,
and why is everyone coming to Virginia? Like, I live in Virginia, and I don't understand why everyone's going. Like, why is everyone coming here? So Michonne just happens to have a friend from college who just happened to show up with the army of murderous kids. Seriously? It's like Morales. It's like Morales showing up and being a savior. Like, I don't understand what's so attractive about Virginia that all these people are coming. Did Eugene lie to that many people and say that there was, like, a cure or something there? Like, I don't know why you're here. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's so true. It's so true. I mean, I guess the only thing I liked, I mean, besides Denai's performance, is, like, when she was talking to Jocelyn, she was so comfortable with her. Like, you saw...
Mm-hmm.
You said, like, she spoke a different way. You saw that familiarity that she doesn't really have with anybody there. So,
right.
I mean, I like that.
I mean,
for
and she
her.
Was so vulnerable. Like, I felt so bad for her because she's pregnant. She's going through grief. This familiar face shows up and it's like, oh my gosh, I have somebody that maybe I could connect with that understands me and knows me, like really, really knows me. Right. Cause she was missing Rick and she was looking to fill that void, and right. to have that person turn their back on you and hurt you in such a terrible way. I feel so bad for her now.
Yeah. Rick and Carl, like,
yeah.
Cause it wasn't that long since Carl died, and that was her best friend too. So it's just like,
she just loses everything.
I know.
And then to make her have to kill kids. It just seems so unnecessarily brutal.
Right.
And I don't know, again, with the, like, kind of to your point, what was the point of this? It didn't unveil anything different about anyone. So you just really want to have Michonne out here killing kids.
Like, right.
I don't like any of this.
Right.
All right. I like that we're all on the same page, because I think a lot of times there's nothing necessarily wrong with liking this episode. This episode is fine. This episode was, if nothing else, intriguing, kept your attention, things like that. But I don't think it took all that with this character who we've seen go through so much for this. I mean, y'all could have just wrote a better story for tonight.
There's that.
Just could have wrote a better story.
Could have just done better. Guys.
All right. Let's get into the recap. I'm going to do the flashbacks first, because I can't keep going back and forth with that. So the flashbacks, we start off with the fact that we see that Michonne has consistently been going back to the site of the explosion looking for Rick. And the first time we see it, it looks like it's just after the explosion, because there's still debris, there's still dust, there's still smoke, whatever, in the air. And she finds Rick's gun, like, just barely concealed in the mud. So, yeah, she just missed him. He was right there. And she picks it up and she wears it. And she wears it throughout her pregnancy, because the next time we see her, she has a very sizable baby bump. Maybe, like, I don't know, like 6, 7, 8 months. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something. I mean, she's leading with her belly at this point. Mm-hmm. And this time we see Daryl, and Daryl catches her and he tells her that Rick's not here, because she is, like, turning over every walker. Like, is this Rick? Is this Rick? And he says he's followed the river to the ocean and back, and it's not out there, but he's going to stay out there until he can find Rick. That's just what he's going to do. I'm like, yeah, you should.
Mm-hmm. Sure, follow. Yeah, you should.
All the way
tell Maggie to come back and look for him too. Yeah, come on back, Maggie. You need to be out there looking for Rick, too, because it's your fault, too.
Oh, y'all.
She gets on my nerves. I'm so sick of all of them. Oh, my God. I just can't wait till Michonne just leaves these people behind. It just leaves them to their own idiot devices. I'm so sick of them all.
They're all going to die.
Yeah, that's what I really want.
Because you know it's going to be like, there'll be left.
Because there's no leadership left.
Aaron's
nobody's going to listen to him.
Leading the charge with his brother.
Nobody's
going
to listen to him.
They're all going to die in like 2 weeks.
The Walking Dead's ending in season 11. Because everybody's going to be dead by the end of the season.
Girl, season 10 and a half.
Season 10 dot Michonne's last episode. But yeah, Michonne tries to get him to come back to Alexandria, because, you know, Judith is asking about him. And I'm like, Judith always asking about her aunties and uncles that ain't looking for her. But he's like, I don't want to come back until I find something. And they make sure that the other is okay. And then they go off in their separate directions. I do like Michonne and Daryl. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm. I like them too.
Yeah.
He's a better friend than Shane. So there's that. At least he wasn't trying to push up on Rick's woman like Shane was immediately after he thought he was dead.
Yeah. Just different. Yeah. It's so, it is because it's like different kinds. Because honestly, when Shane came back for Rick's last episode, you felt it. Like, you felt like the brotherhood, like, immediately. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, yeah, technically, I guess Daryl's the best friend, but like, Shane and Rick have that better connection on screen anyway.
For sure.
So I'm just like,
Maybe that's just Norman. It's, maybe it's just something he's doing.
I mean, you know, I don't, it could be, I wouldn't put it past. Listen, I don't know. I don't know that man's process.
That's funny.
So back in Alexandria, Sonequa Martin's Green's husband is here. I was like, how dare you come back?
Where you been?
Right.
That's my question. Where have you been?
We don't even know if he's alive right now. Right. Like, I have not seen this man. I don't know if he's there or not.
Like, sir, do you know that Rosita has been looking for a man and she needed a hot one? And here you are this whole damn time. And now she's with Gabriel? I'm mad at you.
It's true. It's true, though. It's true.
It's true.
So he comes back with Rosita. They was out there looking for whatever, and they find a couple kids to, and they bring them to the gate. And there's also an injured adult woman there that recognizes Michonne by name. And Michonne also does the same. Her name is Jocelyn, played by Rutina Wesley of True Blood and Queen Sugar fame. And I thought this was a pretty good get by The Walking Dead.
I do. I love her.
Yeah. And they kept it a secret, too. I was like, okay. But yeah, they know each other. And Jocelyn's hair is a disaster.
And she has half braids in, and I don't understand,
why
it looks like that. It's terrible. Like, somebody started, like, putting in, like, installing braids in, and they just got about a fourth of the way through and just said, you know what? It's the apocalypse. Let's just let it go. You look fine. Just like this. It's not even in a ponytail or anything. No, it's just out there.
It's just out. Like, why don't you just take them out? Like, take them out and redo them. I don't understand what's happening. But
you have six braids, ma'am. Take those braids out and just let your hair be loose. Because it looks terrible.
Yes,
But yeah, they're like, oh my God, we know each other. And so a little later, Sadiq is clearly trying to give her an exam, and she's rushing out of the infirmary. He's trying to get her to calm down and come back, and she's babbling about needing to leave. No one understanding. She has to go get the rest of them. She has to find them. And Michonne's like, what's going on? What do you need? And turns out what she needed was a search party, because Rosita, Gabriel, Eugene, Michonne, and those two kids are searching through a building where one of the kids says Joss has hid them before. And by them, he means like a dozen more random kids that just come out. And I was like, I don't like this.
No.
Already children of the corn. I was like, yeah, anytime kids come like flying out of corners like that, it's some children of the corn shit. You got to abort the mission. Lead those kids where you found them at and go back to Alexandria. She should have known right then it was some bullshit.
Never mind. Crazy ass kids.
Right. Exactly.
I was like, what? Who are they? So yeah, these are all apparently Joss's kids, all of them, and we find this out at this like little Halloween party that they're all having, because the community is excited to see so many kids, and the kids are out by a fire, they're playing campsite games or whatever. Judith, the real Judith, is back. She has on her
little adorable
little cat. Whiskers and nose, and I was like, oh gosh, why did they take her from us? But yeah, she's just out there with some kids, and good for her for this moment, because you know, she's been like the only apocalypse kid for a while.
Yes.
And so Michonne is watching all this from her door, and she's just like, oh, I wish he could see this. And Aaron is just awkward, like, he can wherever he is. I know it. And he's like, oh, wait, that's not what I meant. I mean, sorry, bye. So she's like, okay, whatever. And so she goes talk to Jocelyn. She's like, I can't believe you got all these kids. I would go nuts. And again, like, the way she talks, everything changes with this familiarity, and I like that. It's very similar to Danai, actually, because this episode, they were filming this during Walker Shocker weekend last year. And during Walker Shocker, Danai had a panel with Yvette Nicole Brown as the moderator. And she was different with Yvette. You could tell that they had a rapport, mm-hmm. that they had some kind of connection that you don't necessarily see with like Hardwick or James from Walker Stalker or anybody else basically that I've seen her interview with. It was very different. And so right. I liked seeing that like sisterhood, that friendship, that bond with Michonne as well.
Yeah. And I like the fact of both of them being Black women mm-hmm. and interacting with each other like that, because that's one piece of the puzzle that's kind of been missing with Michonne. I feel like she's, not that there have been a whole lot of Black women on the show, obviously, but I feel like she's never had that connection with someone. Like, she never really had that with Sasha. And so it's nice to see her interact with someone and just kind of have that, like you said, like that familiar conversation or whatever, where they're just kind of kicking it. Like, it's like they were back in college and friends again.
Right.
So we got a piece of Michonne from pre-apocalypse that we never have got a chance to see until now.
Right. Mm-hmm. Very, very true. And it was just nice to see. But Jocelyn was saying, you know, they're talking, and then Jocelyn's like, you know, I see you got this look. I know what you're about to do. You're about to go out there and try to find your man. And Michonne is just like, I have to try. Even if I never find him, I have to try, because I deserve to know Judith does, this baby does. And I was like, that's the plot for the Michonne movies right there. Right mm-hmm. there. That's it. I got to find Rick. I'm like, thank you. If was that the point of this episode? Because I'll take it.
That's one of the few points that I saw.
And I'm like, can we just skip those last couple? We can just skip those.
Right.
Skip the Faya and let's just go back to Rick and Michonne.
Right. Thank you. So yeah, I did like that. I was like, boom, that's what I'm talking about. And then also Jocelyn was saying that all of the adults in the group didn't make it because they just broke. But the kids are resilient and the kids can learn anything. And Michonne is just happy. She's like, I'm just so happy to have you here. And Jocelyn's like, me too. And I was just like, what's wrong with her? What's wrong?
Right.
Side eye from the beginning. Nope.
Yeah, I'm like, this is going way too well. Something's about to go wrong. I'm like, she's a crazy person, or is something wrong with one of these kids? It's going to be like a Lizzie and Mika situation where like one of the kids is just crazy, or something bad is going to happen. Because we hadn't seen her in the present time. So we obviously knew that she wasn't still going to be around. So I was like, she's got to be just a one episode person.
Yep, that's very true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One morning, probably the next morning, time's weird, but we see Michonne sneak with Martin Green's husband and a few other Alexandrians head over to Jocelyn's to pick up their kids. And I was like, who do you have a kid with, sneak with Martin Green's husband? Mm-hmm. I keep calling him that. And so like, I'm actually thinking, like, Sasha's been dead for a while. Who do you have a kid with?
Right.
I'm like, oh, wait, no.
Not Rosita.
David. Not Rosita. But yeah, I was just getting confused. I was like, why, who you been with? But yeah, they're picking up their kids from one of her sleepovers. But as they enter the home, there are no kids. There's no Jocelyn. And so the parents head out into the community to look for their kids. And they find the pantry and the infirmary have been raided, and this dead guy in the pantry. I was like, these pantry workers don't do well.
No,
terrible. They all die.
Olivia.
Right, they all die. I know a job I don't want at Alexandria. Right. Do not put me in charge of the pantry, because somebody's gonna kill me eventually. Yep. Over some cans of beans. Like, what the
hell?
Right. I was like,
also, you don't want to be the doctor. That's it. Like, you do not want to be the doctor.
Right. Yeah, I'm looking at Sadiq real hard. I'm like, you've been alive too long, buddy.
Yep.
Yeah.
And time's running out.
And he be saying he got some questionable choices. I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, Sadiq. Mm-mm. But it was so cute, because who did it? I think it was Sneaker Martin Green's husband called her over, called Michonne over, and you see her little pregnant run. Like, yes.
She's so cute.
I was like, that's so cute. And she sees all this, and then she sees like tiny little kid bloody footsteps that lead to a sewer grate, and she's just like, oh my god. And I was like, yeah, something was up. Mm-hmm. So yeah, they see that the kids have been abducted through the sewers. And again, like we said at the top, for some reason, Michonne and Daryl are the only ones who are looking for these kids. Not really sure how that worked out, but okay. So Daryl gets her to take a break because she is like huffing and puffing, walking through. And he's like, hey, I know you want to be out here, but you got a baby.
It was so sweet.
And I love the way she turned around like, uh-uh. But she also sat her ass down.
Yeah.
Because she got a baby. But Michonne is like beating herself up because she is like, she just so desperately needed Jocelyn, or what Jocelyn was to her. She needed to have that kind of friend in her life. And she blames herself for not seeing the danger. And I'm just listening to this. I was like, why don't she got no friends?
Why indeed?
Where's Maggie?
Because people are stupid.
Yeah.
She's too smart to be friends with them.
I mean, it's just strange. Like, I don't know. Maggie had the baby during the time jump, clearly, so we didn't see what happened. But it seemed like everybody was friendly. Like, there was no... Maggie was not wanting for company. So I don't know if it was Michonne, but if it wasn't Michonne, I mean, it was Enid. It was somebody.
Right.
Right.
And Michonne just out here grieving her husband, having this baby, and nobody's around.
Yeah, so I'm like, Daryl, you just have no support or anything. And Daryl's living in the woods. So, I mean, I don't know how supportive he really can be when he's wandering around in the woods.
How much support can he really be anyway?
Right. I mean, he doesn't even, barely talks. You he's have baby. Sit down.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I was just over this. I feel like I was over this episode at this point. I was like, I hate everybody.
And I don't know why. Right. Like, hearing Daryl say something about how some people have so much evil in their hearts. Like, has he ever talked about anybody's heart before? First of all, I was like, what? I don't know. It just felt weird.
He got them new leading man lines, okay?
I guess. Like, it just those words coming out of his mouth felt weird for me. I was like, I don't understand. What? Just too many emotions.
He was getting a little soul deep there. I was like, really? Right? Wow.
I was feeling a little weird about it. I was like, I don't know what this is, Daryl. I can't make eye contact with you anymore. I don't know what's happening. Ugh. You're turning into a real man.
Right before our eyes. I was going to say it must be Connie, but she's not in the picture yet.
I know.
But yeah, he's just like, well, whatever. What do you say? Oh yeah, evil in their hearts. And Daryl just like shuts that down. As far as her trying to blame herself, he was like, you're nothing like that. That's why you didn't see it coming. And so they get back on the search. They eventually find this school where one of the kids is outside, and Michonne calls for him. She chases him, and Daryl's not there, but he eventually finds them inside the school, cornered by these kids. And they make her surrender her weapon. And then they shoot Daryl with an arrow. And once he's incapacitated, they knock her out.
My heart dropped like into my stomach.
Yeah.
Because I was hoping that the whole X scar thing, I was like, this is not really going to happen while she's pregnant, is it? Like, this is really happening to her while she's pregnant. I was hoping it would be at some other time during that time jump. But I'm like, not now. Really?
Right. Exactly. Like they had 6 years to play with, and they just were like, let's do it while she's pregnant. Let's do it while she's 2 days away from labor. Like she was just so big. I was like, yep. You guys suck. I was like, whose idea was this? Who wrote this? Like, not necessarily who wrote it, because I'm sure this was like, you know, you pick straws or whatever. But this was somebody's idea.
And other people agreed with it. Like, that sounds good. We should roll with that. Wow. why are you doing this to a pregnant woman on TV? Really?
Yeah, for no reason. Then we find she and Daryl wake up and find themselves bound and gagged. And it's like, when they had found those kids earlier, you saw that they had like diagrams on how to skin deer and stuff like that. And so Daryl and Michonne were like, the way they were bound is like they were hung, like they were getting ready to get skinned. And that's what I thought. I was like, what? Mm-hmm. And you see Jocelyn sitting in the corner just calmly. She got her little turtleneck and a blazer. Her hair is back in a ponytail. I was like, okay. And one of the boys, Linus, is that his name? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He gets his hot brand and he takes it to Daryl's back. It just brands him. Okay.
Why? What was the branding for? Like, I didn't understand that. What was it for?
I don't know. To mark like, what are you gonna?
Yeah, like, what are you going to do afterwards? You're going to kill him and then just have an X on their body? Just for what? So like, it made no sense. It literally made no sense.
No, it did not. That's the thing. Or just when you break it down, you're like, I don't understand what's happening. Why is this happening? What are
right?
What is kids? Why are you teaching them to do this? Exactly. It'd be one thing just to like, it's just the branding part where you're just like, okay, so what is the point? Jocelyn starts doing her villain monologue in front of Michonne, talking about you can't have kids out here like this. These kids are soft and you're living in the past, blah, blah, blah. And gets one of the girls. Her name is Winnie, and Winnie hesitates a little bit. And Jocelyn's like, feel the power or whatever. And so she gets her to brand Michonne, and this is like, it's crazy. Like, cause so she brands Michonne, and Michonne is like screaming in Jocelyn's face in this like part pain. Like, it was like definitely pain, but it was also like half rage as well. Like, she, it was not just that hurt. It was like, I'm going to kill you also. Yeah. And I thought this was especially effective because Jocelyn didn't flinch at all. Mm-mm. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm like, wow. I mean, what happened to you for you to be that cold? Like, to see this woman like screaming in agony in your face, somebody you knew, like somebody you were cool with or whatever. And you're doing this to her for literally no reason. Like, I don't know why you're doing this to her.
Yeah. And then, you know, when you see the belly as well, it's just like, okay guys, Walking Dead, you're so tasteless. Somehow I don't know what kind of editing cut this was, Daryl's free and
I asked that during the live tweet last night. I was like, yo, did I miss something, or how did he just like magically get free? Because that looked like those wrists. Yeah, their wrists were bound, like, it looked like they were bound pretty tight. So I don't know. I'm like, is he a magician? He just, like, slipped out of there? Or
yeah.
What did he do? How did he kill these people? Yeah, he had taken down, like, two or three kids. I'm like, what the hell?
I thought they were going to go back and show. No. Literally, no. It was just the magic of Daryl. Where was that fucking magic when she's out here slaughtering them damn kids? That's what I want to know.
I guess that's not too hard to believe, considering that Beta just like rose up like the Undertaker after getting thrown down an elevator shaft, and people are cutting people's heads off with wire and all of that stuff. So this is way more believable than any of the stuff we've seen. Maybe they should have found some Whisperer mask on the way over there. They would have powered up off that mask and been able to just kill everybody with one arrow.
Right. Oh, so strange. But yeah, he just like, He smothers one of those kids, gets Michonne free, and Michonne's like, we need to split up. And so, of course, Michonne's the one that runs into everybody. And Jocelyn,
where did Daryl go?
I don't know. They said let's split up.
How big was this place?
I don't know.
He's like, okay, you go that way with all the people. I'm going to go this way where nobody's at. Like, where are you going?
Like, guys, have we not figured out that splitting up is a bad fucking idea?
Right.
Right. It's only two of you. Stick together.
Jeez.
So, yeah, exactly. It's just two of you. That's weird. But yeah, Michonne, of course, is the person that finds everybody. And Jocelyn's like, they're both free. Escape protocol. Okay. Okay, Rutina. This is... Got it. Yeah. I was just like, okay. And so that Winnie girl blows a whistle and everybody gets into formation and Michonne's like, what the hell is happening? And she's like, can I just get my kids? I just want my kids back. And Jocelyn's like, why? They're better off with me. And whatever, you know, again, villain's monologue. And so she leaves Michonne with her child soldiers, one of whom has Michonne's katana. The other one, Linus, has a blade. Michonne has a pipe. And she's just like, I don't want to hurt you guys. And they still charge forward, attack her. She actually pretty easily disarms the girl. Also disarms Linus, but not before he slashes her big pregnant belly. And again, why is she getting
no reason?
Like even when Maggie was in the fight with those women saviors, like her shirt got slashed.
Right. She didn't actually.
She didn't get cut.
Right.
But again, why not? So
I was really afraid that Michonne was going to go into like labor or something.
I know.
I was like, oh my gosh.
I mean, why not? Just put ice in them.
Yep.
Right. And I mean, like, I'm like, because you're already doing all of this. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, what about like this trauma and craziness makes her go into labor?
Yeah. Oh. If they would have done it, I wouldn't have been surprised because it just would have been just, why not? One more thing.
That doesn't make sense.
Right. But yeah, so she is now cut on her belly and she is still very much trying to talk these crazy kids down and they run away. She chases after them. She runs outside only to get beaten by a wooden plank by Joss. I was like, oh my God. I was shocked at how much they had her. And I mean, we talked about it, but then you just see it just happen like in sequence. Like, oh, she got punched in the face. She got knocked out by this kid. She got hung and branded. And then she got sliced on her pregnant belly. And then she got beaten by a wooden plank. Like, right. Why? But yeah, she like Joss was just beating her with wooden plank across all manner of her body until Michonne manages to get her katana and kill Jocelyn. And then the kids are just lined up looking at her, ready to attack. She's like, hey buddies. you can come back to Alexandria. It's fine. You think she meant that or was just trying to get out of the situation safely?
Oh, I think she meant it.
Mm-hmm.
I do think she wanted to try. I think she wanted to do everything she could not to have to kill the kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
I really don't think she wanted to have to kill them.
No, I don't think she wanted to have to kill them too, but I just don't know if she was really sincere about bringing them all back to Alexandria.
I think she was. I feel like
at that point, I think she probably was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like she knew that Jocelyn was what was doing this stuff, you know, like that she was the catalyst behind the way they were behaving. Mm-hmm. And if she got her out of the picture, which she did very nicely, I might add. And she figured that maybe they could rehabilitate these kids because they're kids.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I was just wondering, like, just because it's a lot of kids with a lot of murderous tendencies.
Majorly murderous tendencies.
So I was just wondering if she would have been able to escape that situation as she wanted to with not killing any kids, I wonder if they would have like thought about that. Like, can we even do this or
right.
just try because that's all you can do. But yeah, she's like, yeah, you guys come back to Alexandria. It's fine. And then one of the guys tells Winnie to kill her kids while they deal with her. And Michonne still continues to try to talk them down, but they keep coming for her and her belly. Like, they keep shooting for RJ. Like,
right.
And at this point, there's nothing she can do except to start moving towards this RV that has her kids in it. And to do that, she has to kill these kids. And it's at that point, like, it's very intricately. I like the editing of this because this whole episode flashes between present day and flashback, but specifically this scene, because they can't show killing kids on TV, I guess. They kill Ron. Not Lizzie though. I wonder if it's like a certain age. But yeah, all these kids were like, they were like under 10. And so instead of like showing her actually like these death blows, you see like her plowing through these walkers and basically it's flashing back and forth.
Yeah. And how it kind of paralleled with each other. I like that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, she kills all these kids that were coming for her. And then Daryl just shows up conveniently after all the hard work's done. And he's just looking around like, oh, what happened? And then Michonne manages to talk Winnie out of more murder. And Winnie just runs away. And I was like, we probably going to see this girl again.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I hope she doesn't show up with the whisperer. She should have killed her. I mean, you'd already killed everyone else at this point.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah, she could have just threw the katana at her and just hit her in the back of the head with it. Daryl could have done something. That could have been the time that Daryl did something.
Daryl didn't even do anything. Just let her run away.
Yeah, get your hands dirty too, Daryl. You've already seen I wasted all these kids. Take that one out.
That's right.
And that was the thing that I thought was funny, because Norman continually talked about how the scars are like this dark secret that only he and Michonne share and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you ain't do shit.
But he didn't do anything.
He didn't share nothing.
Right.
Besides magically get free and untie Michonne. And then after that, you just ran off the opposite way. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry that getting that shit burned into your back was so fucking scarring for you while Michonne had to slaughter children.
Had to kill kids.
Had her kid kidnapped.
Honestly.
And you let the one live kid get away. Like, you just watched her run.
I see you have everything in control.
So yeah, Winnie runs away. Michonne calls for Judith. Judith comes to the door of the RV and just stares like in confusion, which concerns Michonne a little bit, until Judith happily calls her mommy and runs into her arms.
Oh my God.
I know.
I love that part. I was like, oh.
So cute.
Like, oh my gosh. Oh, she's so cute. Those twins are adorable. So Michonne and Daryl return these ingrates abducted kids back to them, and no one but Aaron and Sadiq notice that the pregnant lady has a bleeding gash across her belly.
Right.
Everybody's just like, oh, thanks for the kids, and just leave her. I'm like,
nope. Y'all ain't getting
so back. Yeah, so thankless. They just do not, like, I've been saying that for a long time. So many of these people just do not deserve Michonne.
No.
Like, she's brilliant. She's always coming up with a good, solid plan. She could put herself out there and get into action. And like you said, Kia, she probably didn't tell them everything that happened to protect them from the darkness that she had to experience. Mm-hmm. So even still, after she had been through all that, she's still protecting you guys.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy.
Are you guys mad because you can't go no fair?
Right.
Ugh, fucking fair.
And again, she's trying to protect you once again. Like, dude, there are people dressed up like walkers killing people out there. And you're really mad at me because I'm trying to protect you from being murdered. Like, if you want to be murdered, just go ahead and go. Go ahead. And that's why she came to that conclusion. She was like, you know what? You want to go? I think it's a dumb idea, but go ahead and go if this is what you're feeling.
That's how I feel. You're right, Ty.
It's so just stupid.
Like, you're like, I can't wait till she leaves and all y'all just die. So now we're in present day. And present day, we see that Erin finds Michonne to tell her that Daryl is there. But he's not alone. And here's where we have our first RJ sighting, because he's trying to not even really ride a bike. He's just scooting along while Judith and Gracie help him stay upright. And Michonne's like, well, what's going on? And she goes to the gate and sees that it's Daryl. He sees it's the Scooby gang, basically. And Daryl's like, you know, I wouldn't come. I know how you are about unannounced visitors, but he's hurt and you were the closest. And Erin is very much fully like on board with like no new friends. He don't care. He's like, we can't trust Lydia. And then,
I know that's right.
And Michonne's like, yeah, you're right. But I trust Daryl. So she that lets is. Him in.
Can't trust him to slaughter no kids though.
Right.
Or not get Glenn killed. Also that.
Also, you know, kidnapping Rick, making sure he's...
You know what? Can't trust him at all. Never mind. No, girl.
Because when she said that, I was like, can you? Because he barely helped you out. when y'all were getting branded and y'all were all tied up. Like, he barely helped you out in that situation. So can you really trust him? I don't know about that.
He really does the very least. And people are just like, oh my God, that's the most amazing thing. What? What are y'all talking about? Ugh. Anyway, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I love it. Don't be trying to make up for your for what you said earlier a couple weeks ago. You're going real hard on Daryl now, Melissa.
Listen,
So yeah, while Henry is getting stitched up and he's just like, oh my God, is this gonna hurt? And so like Henry and Lydia are just like being weird and teenagey and comforting each other while he's getting stitched up. And Michonne asked Daryl about their plans after they leave. And she's like, so y'all just going to the kingdom? Because you know you're not staying here, right?
You're not staying here.
And he's like, you know, we'll end up there eventually. And Connie is writing her some notes, writing Michonne some notes, like, and thanking her for everything that she's done for them. And then Michonne's just like, okay, yeah, all right, bye. And she walks off to talk to Erin privately. And Erin's like, you know, it looks like no one followed them. But then they do agree that, you know, if the Whisperers are looking, Alexandria won't be hard to find. So thank God, get out.
Right.
And then after Henry gets stitched up, he's complaining about his scar while Lydia runs her dirty fingers all over it. And she's like, I like it. I like your scar. It'll remind you of what you did.
You're so funny.
Go away. I was like, why do you have to be here?
Why?
Go away.
Weird?
Right.
And then Michonne's like, hey guys, and she tells Henry she needs to speak to Lydia alone. And then she tells Lydia, basically, you know, like, hey, I see you care about him. If you really did, you would just leave and never come back. And I was like, damn, Michonne, that's kind of fucked up. Like, and we see why she don't trust no kids. Like,
right.
Yeah, so it's like, as the episode goes on, you're like, okay, yeah, that's why you like kid, adult, everybody got an agenda. But still, it is kind of messed up. You just like, when
she wasn't necessarily wrong though.
She wasn't
like
wrong,
I mean, if you know, though. Yeah, if you know you can like protect everybody by you just removing yourself from the situation, like you're putting a whole bunch of people's lives in danger,
right,
for nothing.
But it's like, at the same time, like, this kid has been abused her whole life. She's like in a cult. And these people, are people, these are like, as far as we know, these are like the first people in however long to show actual interest in her own welfare. And she is a weird kid, but she is a kid. So it is kind of like, that's
true. I just don't like Lydia.
No, I don't like her.
I think that's just clouding my judgment.
I don't like her either, but it seems like at the time I'm like, Michonne, you're better than this. But then you're just like,
I get it.
Right. Yeah. Never mind. Okay. I see what happened. Okay. So, yeah, because then we got a Lydia. She's like thinking about it, like, maybe I should run away. And so then we see Judith and Daryl having a conversation. And basically, Judith is trying to really suss out if, you know, her mom is right about the way she's handling things. And she's asking Daryl, and Daryl's like, yeah, no, she's right. You know, keeping you and keeping RJ safe, that's the most important thing. And she's convinced that's not the only important thing. And she's like, I've heard the stories. And he was like, well, you don't know everything, little girl. I'm like, that's right. She doesn't. Stop entertaining this kid. Like, I don't
them
like
Lori it. Jeans are just starting to pop right on out there. And every time I see it, I'm like, no, suppress it, Judith. don't be like your annoying biological mom.
Right.
Be like your real mom who actually raised you.
Right.
To be better than this.
And then Judith asked Daryl, like, well, you know, what will my dad do? And Daryl, for some reason, is silent. And she's like, that's what I thought. I'm like, the answer is Rick would do whatever Michonne told him to.
Yeah. Right.
let's not get crazy. But I just miss them together because they really balance each other out. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It makes me sad. Anytime they bring up Rick, I'm just like, oh. Why are we having to go through this? It's terrible.
Especially because you know he's not dead. You're just like, ugh.
Right. I did think it was cute how Daryl and Judith were both like sitting the same way.
Yeah, that was.
Oh, the little, like, they both had their knees pulled up and everything like that. I'm like, aw, you finally came to visit her for once.
For once.
Right. Because
Daryl.
She been asking about, I mean, in the flashback, Judith was asking about him. Negan talking about how she misses her Uncle Daryl. I'm like, this ain't got nothing to do with Michonne.
Nope. Right.
Daryl out here like a drifter. He was born to walk alone. Listen, he doesn't need this familiar ties as he is shown. Like, he's just out here just living in the swamp. Like, whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
So that night, Daryl and Connie and them, they leave. In the middle of the night, Aaron's just like, I told you you'd be a great dad. And it's like, Aaron.
Shut up, Aaron. Shut up. You've gotten weird since you got your robo hand.
Right. Now's not the time for lies. Like, stop. stop it.
So Daryl and Michonne give each other hugs and, you know, stay safe and all that. And Judith is watching from afar, and Michonne's like, she's mad at me. And he's like, it's probably because she don't know why you are the way you are. So why don't you just talk to her about it? And she's like, well, she's a kid. I want her to be a kid as long as she can. And he's like, yeah, I mean, but you should probably still just talk to her. And she thinks about that clearly. And a little bit later on, the Grimes family is having dinner. RJ is the perfect child. Because mm-hmm. he very politely asked for more tomatoes. And I was like, that's right.
Give him all the tomatoes.
Give him all the tomatoes.
So tomatoes. Cute. Oh my gosh. I love him.
He is so cute.
Oh my God.
You're going to grow tomatoes?
I'm going to, just for him. Just for RJ. So I know he always has an endless supply of tomatoes in my house. That's right, honey. Auntie Mel got you covered.
Oh. I also love the way she was just like, of course you can, baby. I was like, oh.
Aww.
He's a good boy. He eats his veggies.
Right.
And fruits or whatever. But adorable.
Right. So cute. And Judith is picking at her food and she's not really into it. And Michonne's like, oh, can you eat, please? And she's like, I'm sorry, Mom. can I just go to my room? And then she's like, okay. And she's like, thanks, Mom. So she's laid it on thick.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mom. You're the best.
I was immediately like, what you up to, Judith? Because that sounds like something that your kid, that sounds like something one of my kids would say to me when they're about to be up to something, like trying to lay it on thick and stuff, make me think everything's all good. Yep, yep, and yep. Then next thing I knew, they're doing something stupid. Never fails. The mom senses were tingling. I was like, oh boy, here we go.
Judith goes to her room, allegedly. And then after a little bit, Michonne's in her bed and she just can't sleep. So she goes and she wants to talk to Judith. And she's talking. Nobody answers. She goes into Judith's room. There is no one in there. And then the next day she goes to talk to Negan. She's like, have you seen Judith? And I was like, that's weird. You didn't go find her. Why would you go look for her that night?
Right. Right. Day and night on The Walking Dead, just I don't know. One second is 2 p.m. next thing you know, it's like 8:30 at night.
Yeah,
like it's ridiculous.
Maybe they're actually in Alaska. Maybe it's just daytime all the time. You just never know what's happening there. You just never know.
Never know. I was like, oh, okay. I guess she figures she couldn't get nowhere. And so, yeah, she's like, have you seen Judith? And she also demands to know what they talk about. And Negan's like, oh, you curious? Or she's like, shut up, tell me. And he's like, well, you know, anything from homework to missing her Uncle Daryl to stories about her brother and her dad. And Michonne can't believe this shit. She's like, what kind of stories you telling her about her brother and her dad? And he's like, oh, yeah, I tell her that Carl is just as much, she's just as much of a badass as Carl. And he, you know, tells her about that time her dad ninja sliced his throat. he's like, these are all old stories. I was like, yeah, he probably talks about the spaghetti dinner all the time as well. I made you spaghetti, Judith.
Don't you remember when Uncle Negan came over? Oh, my God.
He has nothing better to do than relive his glory days.
Yeah. Like, go ahead.
Like, that's all he's doing. It's just reliving his glory days. He's like, back in my day.
Right.
When you were small, I carried around a bat and I was in charge of people and this happened and that happened. It's like, dude. And I know why Michonne was pissed, because she's like, this is like the last person I want her hearing any of this shit from, because he's ridiculous and he's probably lying and over exaggerating things, because that's Negan. That's like what he does.
Right. And it's also strange to me that she is asking stories about, like, so Michonne doesn't talk about them. Is that
right?
Or right. like, why does she need that? I guess.
Right.
Especially from Negan. It's like everybody
right. All the people that she's asking why him.
So that was a little weird. Yeah. But I mean, I guess it is something that Michonne's just not talking about. That just doesn't ring true to me. I don't know. It just doesn't seem right.
Yeah, I feel like Michonne would have the type of relationship with her kids that she would be able to explain and break things down to them on a level that they could understand, but she would still be open and honest and truthful with them.
Right.
Like, even if she's got her walls up with other people and everything like that, I just don't see where she would have just kept all of that stuff from Judith. Because surely Judith would ask her questions. Like, that's her mom. Right. She's going to want to know about her dad. She's going to know about her brother. So what did she just do? Just stare back at her silently? Like, she had to have said something. Like, I don't understand. I don't even understand how that conversation with Negan would have even really come up. Like, why would you ask this man who lives in a basement cell about your dad and about, you know, about your dad and about your brother and stuff? Right. Like, it's just something about that just doesn't make sense. I think they're just trying to insert Negan in there and just force that relationship between him and Judith that, I'm like, have we really seen that they're really that close, or have we just seen them chat a couple of times about random stuff and she shot him? And made him come back. Like, that's basically it. I don't get the feeling that their relationship is as deep as they're trying to portray it. You know,
I mean, but they tried to do the same thing with Negan and Carl too. It was this whole thing where like Negan got choked up, like, oh my God, Carl, my boy, like, what? Get out of here.
Right. And I'm like, you don't have a relationship with him like that. Where is this coming from? Are you just dramatic and you just are latching on the kids for no reason? Like, what are you doing? He just wants a Grimes kid to like him. Just any Grimes kid. He'll be talking to RJ next, like yelling out the window, come over here and talk to me. RJ.
Yeah, I don't like it. And this is why I didn't want him talking to Judith when Rick wasn't around. Like, get out of here. But Michonne is just like so incredulous. She's like, oh, did you also manage to tell her what you did to Glenn and Abraham? And he's like, I'm a straight shooter with Judith. So yes, those stories have come up. I'm like,
he lying. I just don't think he's telling the truth. Like, I mean, he's the type of guy that's just, he's just going to embellish things to make himself look like the victim and all that stuff. I just don't, there's no way he told her that. He just wanted to get up under Michonne's skin. Like, he just likes to say things to try to make himself look better than what he is and get up under her skin.
And you also know that he probably forgot about Abraham too, just like we did.
Who?
Like, man, we all remember.
Right.
I love that Michonne, she's so pure. Like, she still remembers Abraham. We're over here like, who? Okay.
Poor Abraham. I sat up when she said his name because I'm like, I haven't heard his name in years. Wow.
Right. Exactly. Yeah, there's no way he really, really fully contextualized what he did to people.
No.
And so, yeah, no. We're trying to listen to this. And so he shares that Judith hates that she's not letting new people in. And then he invokes the name of Carl. And that's a mistake because she whips around and gets in his face. It sets her off. And then he's listening to her and he figures that she actually doesn't even know where Judith is. And that's why she's asking all these questions. And he's like, you know what? She is your daughter. So maybe as your daughter, she is not taking this shit lying down. I was like, you are so unhelpful, Negan.
So
unhelpful. Yeah, I just don't like. I mean, it's just like what you said, Ty. It's just like, this just doesn't seem like Michonne. Michonne seems to me that she would be open with her kids if no one else.
Right.
So
yeah, so I don't know what's going on right there, but that whole scene to me was like, I was like, this is weird. And it was like him trying to like give her like side parroting advice or something like that, and I'm like, again, why do you think Michonne, like, he just wants Michonne to like value his opinion and what he has to say so bad. He wanted to be her advisor. Now he's trying to like show her how to lead Judith and parent her and stuff like that. I'm like, dude, she don't care about what you have to say or anything. Like, you're sitting in a cell right now. You're in prison. You're in prison, and she knows that you're crazy. So she's not listening to anything that you say and taking it serious.
Right. She listened. I mean, she was listening. She was going to do something based on Daryl saying something, but not cares about me.
Right.
I don't like it. But he is in jail longer than I thought he would be. I didn't think he'd be in jail this whole season.
Mm-hmm. Me either.
So I'm fine with it, but I'm surprised. So Michonne runs back home. She finds a note from Judith saying that she has to help their friends and she is not here for this. And she takes off riding for her girl and she finds her bike on the side of the road. I was like, oh, Judith, just ride the bike. That's what dumb kids do. And so she sees the bike and she sees a group of walkers ahead and she goes apeshit on these walkers trying to get through. And she clears through them just in time to see Judith pretty expertly take down a walker. Mm-hmm. And also she sees this walker expertly take Judith down because it grabs for her. And Judith immediately screams. She screams like, mommy, help. I was like, aw. She called her mommy. And so Michonne kills the walker and they hug. And she was like, we have to talk.
Yep.
And so Michonne shares this story that we have been seeing unfold throughout the episode. And she explains that that is basically, you know, she got super scared when Judith got taken. And that's kind of why she's hesitant about seeing, like, experiencing, like, new people. And Judith's like, yeah, no, I remember you were, like, full of blood and everything. And she's like, what? Well, I thought you were acting like this because you didn't know. But you do know. So
why are you acting like this? Why are you acting like this?
And Judith is basically sad because she feels like she is being cut off and forced to not love, like, other people because she... Melissa's just shaking her head. She can't even take it. she's just like, I can't. She was like, you know, it feels like we stopped loving Daryl and Maggie and the King and Carol because we don't help them.
How about they don't come to visit your ass, girl?
Right. I mean, but that's a child's logic, though. Like, they're going to make connections and correlations to things that don't make sense. So even with Judith being, like, you know, a pretty resourceful and a really smart kid for her age or whatever, she's still a child. Mm-hmm. Like, so she doesn't understand all of the inner workings and all of the emotional stuff that, you know, Michonne went through, all of the physical stuff that she endured from that experience. And she also doesn't understand the relationships between these different communities and stuff. I mean, there's deeper things going on there that a child just doesn't know. The only thing she knows is that, oh, you know, I love these people and they're not getting along and it's making me sad. It's almost like a kid where their parents are, like, getting divorced and stuff. They just want everybody to be together and be happy. But that's just not a feasible situation based on whatever dynamics they have going on. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so that's why I'm like, I don't know about listening to these kids, because again, they're thinking with the mind of a child, and people love to listen to kids on this show. And I'm like,
yeah, they listen to Carl. I'm like, Carl don't know what the hell he's talking about. Why are we doing this?
Carl was trying to plant strawberries and live happily ever after with everyone. And I'm like, Carl, get out of here.
And just like Melissa said, these roles go two ways. Y'all can come over right here. What's
right? And it seems like, I mean, and maybe it's because nobody has verbalized it to her, but it's like, yeah, Maggie could come visit. She chooses not to. Daryl could come visit. He's chosen not to. And this is the facts.
Right.
You know, I know you love them, but I'm sorry. They're not coming. Like, right. I want to tell you. Sorry, kid.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm like, come on. Just tell her.
Right. And as we've seen, like, with the flashback with Tara, when Tara was still in shit, it's not like Michonne was unwilling to participate and trade and help and stuff like that. It was just not it was just not what other people thought she should. Like, they thought she should get more. It's not like she didn't do it at all. She was willing to take in the kingdom. They don't want to come. Like, these kids, all these kids need to get out of here. Like, stop listening to Henry. Stop listening
to Judith. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, just get Henry all the way out to paint. Like, this boy just got to go.
All the way out.
Right. I mean, I feel like with Judith, we have a little bit more patience and stuff with her because she is a Grimes. Like, Henry, we just don't care about you at all, dude. Like, it doesn't even matter that you're Carol's son. You're annoying. Like, if Carl was here and doing some of this annoying stuff, it's like, okay, yeah, you're getting on my nerves, Carl, but we can overlook it because you're Rick and Michonne's son. Like, Henry, you could have just, matter of fact, you and Lydia could have just ran off. You should have just went with that plan.
They should have.
Just ran off into the woods somewhere together so we don't have to see either one of your faces again.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not here for it. So after this, I mean, it's a nice moment. It's cute. It's very nice. It shows that they love each other. It shows their bond. It shows that they very fiercely think of each other as mother and daughter, and that, you know, any of that bullshit that anyone else may, for whatever reason, try to, like, foster upon them. Like, nah. But it's still just like, stop listening to these kids. But after this moment, Michonne takes Judith to Carl's grave, and she says, you know, as she and Rick were digging this grave and burying Carl, Michonne made the promise that she was never going to bury another kid. And so after she lost Rick. And I do like how she has never said Rick is dead throughout this whole episode. Mm-hmm. Rick's gone. I lost him. Blah, blah, blah. Never. Rick died.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I'm like, mm-hmm. She knows. She knows.
Yeah,
she knows.
She's got that hope.
Get into movies, girl. But yeah, she said that after Rick was gone, she got lost. And then Judith got lost and they just freaked her out. And so because she got scared and the rest of the people were also scared, they decided to make this place only about them. And now she believes that Judith is right and they need to open it up and protect everyone they love. And
sorry. Nope. Yeah, I was with it at first because I'm like, oh, you know, to stand around the grave. Both of them are, you know, really emotional. It's just so like well acted. And I'm like, you know, I'm feeling the feels and stuff. And then she was like, you know, maybe you're right. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Time out. And it's not saying that a child's voice or like their opinions and stuff can't be valued. Cause I like with my own kids, I do, you know, listen to what they have to say. I take their opinions and stuff into consideration, but then you have to counterbalance that too with the wisdom and the knowledge of stuff that you have as an adult. Like, I'm like, Michonne, I don't know if you should be letting this kid convince you to be out here fooling around at the fair with the king and all of them and stuff and their little paper mache tiger. And no, stay at home.
Stay at home. And also, like, I think there's a time and a place for everything, because I do think sometimes, like kind of what I was talking about in the beginning, sometimes after you get attacked by a kid army, you do need to shut it down.
Yes.
And so just because, and it doesn't necessarily need to be like that all the time.
Sure.
But that wasn't necessarily the wrong decision at that point. So, I mean, let's just stop doing this all or nothing where it's like the gates are open all the time or they're open none of the time. And it's weird. Like, why can't we as adults, as, you know, people, as you get new information, you reevaluate, you reprocess, you know, you do that thing. Right. It just like, I don't know. I just don't like this. It's weird because it's
and
not
it's not
how...
like the gates are fully closed to everyone. Like you said, she invited the people in the kingdom to come and stay there at Alexandria. So it's not like she's saying, you know, no one can come in, no one can go out. We're all just going to be quarantined in here. She's just saying that, hey, we need to be cautious and wary of new people that we're bringing in because we don't know what we're getting ourselves into.
Right.
So it's not like she ever told anybody, you can't come here. So again, I don't understand what everyone is so angry about. I don't get it.
Yes. And also, what does protecting the people that they love have to do with this fucking fair? Protecting them from their own idiocy? I mean, honestly. Right. What? I don't understand.
I'm like, if you want to go, just go. Get out of here. Yeah, hope we see your head on a pike by the end of the season because you're just stupid.
I'm just like, Michonne, we do not need to go to this fair.
We sure don't. Yeah, and that was another thing. Like, Judith was so like, I'm going to help them. I'm going to help them walk to the kingdom? What's wrong?
Right. Exactly. What was she doing?
What are we doing? What's the point?
Were you going to let Henry ride your bike? Like, I don't understand.
I cannot.
This is why you don't listen to kids. This is why
they don't need an escort to the fair. They have an escort. The escort's name is Daryl. Let him do this because he's already out there.
You know?
Right. One of them's going to come out riding on a horse.
Yeah. Gosh. You're so
come
right,
on,
Melissa.
You people.
Yeah. It's not
Let's go
same
watch
thing.
A movie. Jeez.
It's not the same thing at all. The fair does not equal. Just send them some stuff once you just get a plan. Yes. Like, you, first of all, people already went to the fair with your stuff, so it's fine. But also, get a plan together for these whisperers.
Yep.
And then once that's done, then you go to fair.
Yep.
Or not the fair. Right. I mean, just go visit, but
we don't have to go to this fair.
Yeah.
Right. But knowing that there's a threat out there, like, I don't get it at all.
I don't.
Mm-mm. And it's like, I honestly would not feel bad about not protecting them from the threat with the whole thing with the fair, because y'all shouldn't be having no fair to begin with. That's
right.
The problem. When there is a known threat, people walking around with dead people's faces on, and y'all out here having a fair, you're stupid. You deserve to die. I'm sorry.
Well, I don't even know if the kingdom even knows about any of this stuff.
They don't.
It doesn't seem like Tara told them anything, which is, again, her just being an idiot once again. She just showed up. She's like, oh, you know, where Henry and Daryl at? I'm like, they're not there because they were out there running around. Daryl's out there trying to find Henry and stuff. She acted like they were supposed to be going to the kingdom. And I'm like, you know good and well, they had that. There was not on their agenda was to go to the kingdom. The main agenda was for Daryl to go and find Henry's dumbass because he ran away.
Right.
So I don't understand what's happening.
Right. And so, like, the kingdom, again, this whole fair is sketch to me because y'all ain't got nothing but rugs and clothes, but y'all trying to, and a movie, but y'all, but y'all out here trying to be like, give me y'all's food. But yeah, the other people, they definitely know what's going on and they just, I don't know. They need to find some other way to, you don't need to have your stuff out there, like, ready to be stolen. Like, right. You got your stuff out there on the road. Somebody going to come steal that. I mean, you just need to tell the kingdom, hey, y'all might want to go ahead and come back with us. Y'all don't seem to have the provisions. We know there's a threat out there now. Yep. We need to reschedule this. But they just, nope. Just don't
reschedule it. But they are going full steam ahead on this fair. Just got to have it. I don't know.
Gotta watch.
I'm like, what is Ezekiel doing? Like, I just don't. I'm like, you were just so about to die because you were just happily doing stupid things.
Yeah.
He's hoping he can upgrade his hippogriff feather. Get a bigger one. Like, I'm going to fly away with the sumbitch.
So, yeah, Michonne and Judith, they go and pick up some losers to go to the fair in their station wagon, horse drawn station wagon. And at the kingdom, some whisperers see people entering the kingdom gates and they're like, we have to tell Alpha, not whispering at all. She said that full voice. She must be new. But I was like, see, this is what y'all, how come the whisperers have never seen, found the kingdom before this? I don't know. Who cares? It's just.
Yep.
But that's the episode.
This whole whisper thing is not going very well on TV. I don't know what's going on.
It's just nobody can explain what would make a whisper attractive. I mean, Lise said she liked it because you can hide in plain sight, but I just feel like the cons outweigh the benefits.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Well, as you guys can imagine, we had a lot of feedback. Kia's going to help me with this because I keep getting choked up. So this first one comes to us from Kishanti. We haven't heard from Miss Kishanti in a while. We had a few in our inbox. We hadn't heard from in a while. She says, hello, ladies. I hope I'm not too late in sending this email. I haven't watched The Walking Dead since Rick's exit, so I'm missing a lot of details, but I had to watch Michonne's bottle episode. On to my thoughts. The amount of trauma and violence that this show inflicts on Michonne is disgusting. I feel like this entire season is just how can we torture Michonne in various different ways. From Rick's death to everyone turning on her, to everyone blaming her for all the problems that arise from everyone else's stupidity to tonight's episode, I feel like they were trying to explain what's made Michonne so guarded, as if that's not a completely normal reaction to life at this point, but they failed. They put Michonne through losing her daughter, the terror of almost losing the only person that she has left, then running through the woods for who knows how long, getting knocked out, being strung up by her hands, branded, beat again by her friend, getting stabbed by some kids. Then, as if that wasn't horrible enough, they had her kill children. Kill children. Michonne didn't deserve that. And after all that, in the end, it still didn't change faux Judith's mind. Like, what was it for then, and why? Anyway, here's what I did like about the episode. Danai deserves all the awards, all of them, delivered directly to her house immediately. The details, Danai was waddling, her posture was different, she just played the hell out of being pregnant. There was even a point when I thought, dang, Danai is breathing so hard. Then I realized that of course she's gasping for breath, she's pregnant. I haven't met a pregnant woman who isn't out of breath constantly if they have to do too much. We don't deserve her. Number two, we got to see the real Judith. Our babies are getting so big. Number three, the little glimpse of Donnie. I can't believe I'm actually shipping Daryl with anyone. It's a new day. Thank you guys for doing the Lord's work, continuing to watch this show and make these episodes. Love, Kishanti. Oh, we missed you, girl.
Yeah. I'd also like to point out the way she spelled Daryl.
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 I said it that way.
I know. It was D-U-R-L. Daryl. Yeah. Do you think Danai is going to get any awards for this show, for this episode?
I wish she would, but I don't know. I think that as far as acting and everything on The Walking Dead, it's just been severely overlooked. Right. It's like Chandler actually brought that up on Twitter a while back, and I wrote about it a little bit more for Hypeable when I was talking about just how they've overlooked them as a whole. So it would be nice if she did. I think she definitely deserves, of course. But yeah, I don't know. I think with The Walking Dead, and I think maybe it's because they're just having to grapple with material that really isn't that mm-hmm. great or whatever. Like if it was just better overall, all around, not just the acting or whatever, but you know, maybe there would be more of a chance, but because it's just kind of started, it's just kind of fallen and lost its way.
Right.
I just don't really think she's going to get the recognition she deserves, which is a shame because I mean, she really gave it to us in this episode. And you could tell it's actually a performance that she's proud of because she promoted it on Twitter and she really doesn't say much of anything, you know, about it. So, I mean, I know she was proud of her work and everything, and everyone should be proud of, you know, what they did in this episode. Right.
And it's like, if y'all didn't give nothing to Andy for this like whole time for carrying this fucking show on his back and giving, like, it's not like he just carried it on his back. He delivered consistently. Yeah. And it's just like, y'all suck. I mean, and I get it. Like, I get why, just like you said, Ty, it's like uneven. But I also think it's one of those things where people lobby for and people vote for what they know. Because honestly, when people submit acting nomination, when they submit reels, you're just supposed to look at that particular reel. You're not supposed to just be like, oh, but this show, blah, blah, blah. But I mean, it's human nature. People are like,
Yeah, it really should be sized down to just the performance itself. And that's just not what happens.
Yeah. So hopefully, but probably not. So this next one is from Tasha Ann. And she says, hi, ladies. Mrs. G here. 10 out of 10. This episode was epic, truly a masterpiece, and will go down as one of the best and most memorable of the series. Danai's acting was phenomenal, simply superb. Bear killed it with a musical score. The director knocked it out of the park, and the writing was exemplary. There were only two other episodes where I flat out cried uncontrollably. 7-1, 9-5, and now 9-14. Something about seeing Rick or Michonne subjugated and abused really hits me hard. Somebody's calling me. Michonne, defiant in the face of utter and excruciating pain, was heroic. But it also harkened back to Rick on his knees, powerless in the moment, and I wanted to vomit. Michonne is the strongest character on the show, even stronger than my beloved Rick, and I hurt for her this episode. It pained me to my core to see her betrayed in such a brutal manner. I had a physical, visceral reaction to seeing her brutalized. But like a boss, she handled that shit. A gagged and tortured Michonne looking into the eyes of her tormentor as she's branded reminded me of the whipping scene of Denzel's character in the movie Glory. Her screams and tears were a mix of terror, fear, sadness, but also rebellion. That was Michonne's "I'm gonna fucking kill you" war cry. Michonne clearly owned the episode, but I also appreciated Daryl supporting her throughout. Of course, Michonne and Daryl are still looking for Rick. They're the two people closest to him. I was angry with Daryl for most of season 9, and it sucks admitting that because I adore him. He made some fucked up decisions, but I am grateful he was there for Michonne at a critical time when Rick couldn't be. I still ain't forgot it's Daryl and Maggie's fault Rick's not with his family. But I'm glad the Daryl I love is back, supportive, loyal, and trustworthy. Michonne was so sad and broken during their talk on the swing set. He was a good listener. It was funny when he put his hands up in surrender when Michonne side-eyed him for suggesting she should be home due to her pregnancy. Daryl got some sense, LOL. Still don't care about that jackass Negan or the dumb Henry Lydia shit. The Daryl and Judith convo was cute. When Miss Sassy Pants asked Daryl what her dad would do about the Whisperers, I was like, duh, whatever your mom tells him to, baby girl. You ain't know. Oh, ye naive little one. Laughing my LMFAO. I was getting ready to say it. I don't know. I was getting ready to say the letters, and then I was like, I feel like I'm going to switch up the letters, so let me just say it. And then I just said the letters anyway. Jocelyn and Bebe's kids were horrific and excelled at being wicked. They were a refreshing new type of adversary. I loved their portrayal and enjoyed their satisfying deaths even more. Rutina and the young actors were great. Hashtag fuck them kids. Delving more into Michonne's backstory pre-ZA was nice. Jocelyn gave us glimpses into Michonne's personality and tenacity even way back then. The kitchen scene was lovely. It was pleasant to go down memory lane and see Michonne genuinely smile again, having frank and real girlfriend time. Their friendship sounded beautiful back in the day. I also love how even though Rick is gone, he's woven throughout every episode. We still get pieces of him. I love that Kang is keeping him an active presence in some form, even if it's minimal. Rick Grimes is The Walking Dead. My sweet baby RJ inherited grit and survival instincts from both his parents early on. That shit's in his DNA. Having gone through trauma in utero as his mom was brutalized, to now see him thriving and being his adorable, loving self puts a smile on my face. Michonne fought for his life and that of his sisters. Now he's napping, riding bikes, eating good, and is a polite little mama's boy. All I kept thinking about is how sweet it's going to be when they reunite with Rick. The Grimes family really needs to catch a fucking break. 914 definitely outsold.
Hashtag no spoilers.
Hashtag no spoilers. Okay. Till next time. Love y'all.
That's right. And we skip that part. So the next one comes to us from Sarah, and her subject says, damn, damn, damn. Well, we wanted to know what happened, and I knew it had to be something extreme, but I did not expect Tara and a band of killer children. The meme I kept seeing on Twitter last night is what I kept yelling at the TV while I watched. Fuck them kids. Fuck them kids. And I can't believe that anyone that knew what happened to Michonne and Daryl would not understand why they shut shit down. And it was absolutely devastating to watch. The flashback combos with Michonne and Daryl made my heart hurt all over again. And I have to give Judith some credit. She came in hard with all the right things to say. And slaying walkers like her mama, little ass kicker is finally coming into her name. And now we finally come to the damn fair. Hold on to your butts because a whole bunch of people are fixing to die. Have a great week, ladies.
She's so funny.
Eat it. Oh, this one's from Kenneth.
Oh, here we go.
Embracing the stupid is his subject. This was a stupid episode. Epically stupid. When we get older and look back at all the stupid things we've done, spending an hour and however many minutes watching this stupid episode won't rank as one of the stupidest, but it'll have its own special moment. In a stupid shell, Michonne, or Mish, runs into her ex-college roommate, or whatever that lady was, and finds out she's a leader of a kid cult who has the kids brand and murder people for the stupidest of reasons. Of course, Michonne has to slay like 20 children, and this apparently causes her to say, fuck the charter, family, and all friends who don't live in Alexandria. Just stupid. Well, they give her a shark to jump over. Anyway, at least next week looks less stupid with Daryl and the crew surrounded by the Whisperers. You'd think something awful was about to happen, like losing a major character, but in typical Walking Dead fashion, right when Beta is about to slit Daryl's throat, the ghost of Shiva will appear out of nowhere and devour him. Or there'll be an earthquake and a sinkhole will conveniently form only around the area where Daryl and the crew are standing, sucking in all the Whisperers and leaving Daryl and the crew stranded on a peninsula overlooking a canyon of carnage. It's then they'll notice Rick's murder coat dangling 275 feet below. Michonne, of course, will be notified immediately. And against the advice of all friends, she'll spend most of 10A rappelling down the canyon to save Rick or his coat, whichever one she finds first. But on the way down, she'll run into Mike's mama and realize that she's been alive all this time, living in a group called the below sea level dwellers who speak in homonyms. Their theory is that walkers can't survive below sea level, so they exist by living out a real life game of dig dug, moving from point A to point B via a series of tunnels. It's there in one of those tunnels where Michonne will find Rick, who's been suffering from amnesia and an acute fear of decompression. He's also been having trouble learning the language. She'll bring him back to Alexandria, though, and there'll be an epic parade. But in true Rick Grimes fashion, he'll remember that he made a promise to somebody. Exactly who, he can't remember because of the amnesia. But regardless, he'll announce that he has to go ASAP. To get him to stay, Michonne will reveal that when she thought he was dead, she started sleeping with Father Gabriel since Shane or none of Rick's other police friends were around. She'll reveal that she's pregnant, and even though Rick wasn't there for the conception, the baby will always be his. They'll name him Carl Jr. This will take place over a 16-part miniseries that'll air after weekly episodes of Ride with Norman Reedus. The series will be called Repelling with Danai Gurira. Somehow, AMC will forget to put Danai's name on the promo poster, which will cause a massive boycott among fans. The miniseries will be a huge failure as a result. The financial loss will result in the immediate firing of Scott Gimple and Angela Kang. Greg Nicotero will be excommunicated from the horror industry, and both Fear and The Walking Dead will be dissolved. So, yeah, I guess it's good that y'all are getting out of the podcasting business.
He's just doing the most.
Right.
What even was that?
Right. Somebody was bored at work.
He went on a whole journey. Like, he just created a whole nother show. In a letter.
Our next one comes to us from Nikki. She says, "Hey, ladies, so much to say about this episode. It did live up to the hype of being dark and disturbing on several levels, and I appreciated that this was an original story for the show instead of from the comic book. Yes, we need to throw all of the Emmys at Danai Gurira. Let's try that again. Yes, we need to throw all the Emmys Danai Gurira's way. And I love seeing Rutina Wesley as a guest star. Now to the meat of the episode. This whole episode underlined once again why most of Team Family are some ungrateful, dusty hoes. This woman had to kill kids because she trusted someone she thought was a friend. Are they that pressed to be cut off from Alexandria that they left Michonne, their friend and partner of their friend and leader Rick, twisting in the wind like this? It's totally understandable why she would take the route she did. Just as this show liked to torture Rick, they love to put Michonne in especially brutal situations in order to show how badass or strong she is. I, for one, feel like it's been way too much. This episode in particular had me tearing up, thinking about all she had to endure being pregnant, and she really had no one to support her. Even Daryl rolled up to the scene after everything was over, because of course he did. Can't have the lead of the show associated with child killing now, can we? Why don't we ever get Michonne doing something cool in slow-mo with rock music playing in the background? She just gets punched in the face or hit in the head. I totally believe that Jocelyn is what Carol would have become if those rogue prison child weapons classes disguised as story time went left. And those kids are what Carl was on the path toward if he didn't have people in his life to keep him from going over the edge. The whole Jocelyn thing could be a mini episode all to itself. The Negan-Michonne scene was very strong and some of the best that JDM has ever done on the show. I know they are going to put him on his redemption arc, but I kind of like him as the CNN of Alexandria. All in all, this was a great episode in terms of acting, original content, and how thought-provoking it was, as brutal as it was. From Nikki.
This one's from Lily. We haven't heard from her in a while. She calls this a mixed bag. Hey, ladies. It's been a minute since I've been able to email between work and incubating a tiny human. Congratulations. I haven't been able to watch the show on Sundays in time to provide feedback. But when I saw the buzz on Twitter about this episode and with Danai herself tweeting about it, I made it a priority. So my thoughts. My feelings are mixed about this one. It was a great episode, incredibly acted by Danai and definitely Emmy-worthy. For the first time in a while, I was legitimately scared and on the edge of my seat. It was dark and brought to the forefront a dimension of what life in the apocalypse could really be like. The scenes with Michonne and virtually every other character, Negan, the Judas, Lydia, and even Jocelyn were incredibly moving. I thought Daryl did a really nice job as well. What bothered me was that Michonne had to endure this. I'm sorry, before a black woman to have to be treated so violently on this show, and then to have them commit violence on children, just why her when she's pregnant? Really? She was attacked by children and another black woman who was her closest friend. Carol had to kill one child. Other women on the show have definitely had to fight other humans, but weren't mutilated in the way Michonne was. Michonne was also beaten and attacked to the brink of death at the end of season 8 as well. season 7. Have any other women on the show been treated this way? While it may not be their intent, it just bothers me that throughout this series, Black people's bodies have been disproportionately battered. T-Dog, Tyrese, Noah, and now Michonne. To top it all off, Daryl shows up at the end when she doesn't need need any more help. That bothered me a lot. Essentially, his hands were clean when it came to ending the threat from the children. Anyway, thank you for letting me vent. Already missing your podcast with 2 episodes left to go. Best, Lilith from Twitter. Yeah.
I agree with all of that. Yeah, I think she summed up a lot of my sentiments about some things. I mean, just the optics on the whole thing with Michonne are bad because she is a Black woman. And especially when you're comparing her to her other, like I said, her women counterparts up there, your Rosita, your Carol, your Maggie, or whatever, they just haven't been through near the amount of physical trauma that she's had to endure throughout her time on the series. I mean, it's been multiple times where she's been very, very close to death. Very close to death. And it didn't serve a purpose. It didn't help us understand the conflict between the communities any better. Like, it just seemed like it was just for no reason whatsoever. And then for it to come from the hands of somebody that she used to love and trust and stuff, it's like everybody she loves either breaks her trust, like, you know, like her boyfriend did or whatever, when her son died or whatever, that was a breach of trust and everything. And she took on that guilt. And so now she's taking this guilt and it's like, she's letting it's been riding her back for all of these years. So, I mean, she just can't find any peace. Like, every time she gets some level of peace, like even when her and Rick got together and she found that love and that, and they, you know, enter that relationship and stuff, it was only a couple of episodes later that Negan shows up on the scene. And so then they have to deal with the challenge of that while trying to navigate their relationship, you know?
Yeah.
I just want her to be happy.
Bring on the movies. That's what we need.
This comes to us from Miss Netta Bear. She says, "This is the episode I've been waiting for. We finally get some answers as to why Michonne changed her tune about people, and she is completely justified in her reasons. But she didn't tell anyone. Only Daryl knows what really happened. If they had told anyone, would they understand? Probably not, because they're all idiots. But if they knew now, would they forgive Michonne for shutting everyone out? Probably not, because again, they're all idiots. Except Aaron Bay. He gets it, and he doesn't even know what she did. Why was Daryl even there? He didn't do anything but untie Michonne. What took him so long to tie up that kid? Did he hear the commotion when she was facing off against the boy that tried to kill RJ? Or her screaming when Jocelyn was hitting Michonne with a 2x4? Useless. This is by far the best episode because it wasn't about Henry and Lydia. The writers could have been telling the story instead of following bizarro Romeo and Juliet's boring love story. They have seriously spent too much time on those fools. I feel like they are the only two characters we've seen in the past 3 weeks. Never mind that I want to know why Michonne has a scar on her back. Why Hilltop hates her. Will they ever tell us? Probably not. And that I'd rather see the Grimes family fun days instead of running through the woods with Daryl. Whoever wrote this episode is seriously fucked up and needs some serious help. However, I guess it really could happen, even in our civilized world, training kids to kill. Yeah, that's definitely going on somewhere in the deep woods. Denai handled the storyline magnificently. I'm serious, y'all. She had me crying from the opening sequence. She better get an award for this performance. Again, they made Judith too wise for a 10-year-old. I like the kid, but even she's disrespectful to Michonne sometimes. Lori's kid better start listening. Here she was, acting all mad until she got in a dangerous situation. Then she really needed mommy. But really, the voice of reason is a 10-year-old. Michonne may need someone to pull her back every now and then, the way she helped Rick see reason. But a 10-year-old? Okay, I'm ready to see these idiots die. Adios until next week. Love y'all from Netta Bear. That's funny.
Yeah, I get it. This next one's from Cheryl. Gosh, girls, I haven't been too good with the feedback lately, but I found something out that is hilarious. And since I cannot get enough of Shut Your Mouth by Mel, I had to share. So apparently Samantha Morton, a.k.a. Alpha, is the voice of Ruby on the show Max and Ruby. It's a kids cartoon from Nick Jr. about these two annoying bunnies. It's for little kids, but if you hear Ruby talk, it explains a lot. Check it out on YouTube. Also, I am totally there for Donnie. Daryl's first kiss. I cannot even be still in my heart. #Daryl forever. Have a good day. She's so funny. She's cute. A little flyby. I love it.
I love it. Cute. Our next one comes to us from Janae. She says, back to when The Walking Dead was good. Hi, Kia and Mel. First off, wow. I haven't been that invested in an episode in a long time. That opening when Judith was helping RJ ride his bike already got me on board the emotional roller coaster of an episode. While I knew Jocelyn would end up being bad, the hurt she and her insane group caused Michonne and Daryl physically was something I was not prepared for. While I think I am in the minority of people who believe Negan has some good plot lines left, today just proved how great Danai and JDM are together when the script is tight. That scene with all the callbacks to Rick and Carl had me feeling things I hadn't felt for a while. What did you think of that scene? And seeing pregnant Michonne alternately be the katana master she is and then break down when little Judith says mama is just another reason why Danai needs an Emmy. That ending with the you love me and I love you just added to the emotional heart of the show. Do you think that this change of heart with Michonne will last, though, once the Whisperers attack the fair? The episode felt like a callback to the best of The Walking Dead, giving me hope for the future, though I'm not looking forward to seeing how the next two episodes are going to play out. Looking forward, as always, to your commentary about the show and stay fabulous. All the best from Janae. Excuse me. So I'm sorry, going back to her question. The scene with JDM and Danai, I think we kind of talked about how we felt about that. Mostly we don't like him with all this acting like you know shit.
Yeah. They are good together, though.
They are good together on screen.
Mm-hmm.
Also, JDM looks
They are good together. Yeah.
I can't get over how much he looks like a grandpa to me. What? Like, he's just sitting in the corner, like, with his house shoes on. Really? And like, I mean, he doesn't...
No, I agree, though. I think JDM looks like a
grandpa.
Good.
Like, he just has the mannerisms of one. And, like, that's what makes me laugh. Like, I just see him just like, slouching the corner. And just, I was like, this is what my grandfather did. Just...
I was like,
he did have his little slides on. He was reading his book and stuff.
Okay, with all of the way he was presenting last night, because I don't know. I felt like, I don't know. He didn't look as good. I felt like maybe like last season. This season, I'm like, okay,
right,
okay.
He was looking a little sickly last season. I was like, ooh.
He looks like he's gaining a little bit of weight. He looks like I'm liking like the facial hair ratio we've got going on right mm-hmm. now. I like all of it.
Yeah, because I didn't care about the Negan adventures, but I was like, you do look good though. Yeah. Like, so I'll watch this and I'll be okay with this, as okay as I can be. Yep. But in the end, I didn't really care what was going on. I just wanted to look at him.
Change of heart, Whisperers attack. It's hard to say. Maybe, maybe she'll want to be the one who's like action, like, okay, this is how we get rid of it. Maybe she won't go back all the way.
I feel like ultimately she's going to have to do that because no one else is going to be able to step up and take that role of how do we keep everyone safe. I mean, honestly, who else is going to really be able to step up and do that? Whether she really wants to, no, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's within her nature to protect and to look out for other people.
Yeah.
And so I feel like she is going to end up keeping that change of heart and saying, okay, we're a family, you know, we're going to, you know, put whatever's in the past and in the past, and I'm going to be here for you guys. I mean, cause it's just like when she, all of a sudden Tara got over her little attitude after she stepped up and helped her. So I think the same thing is going to pretty much happen here.
Right. Yeah. This next one's from Pascali. She says, hey ladies, it's been a hot minute since we've had a good episode, and I'm so excited to have something to talk about. The best part of this episode is everything. Michonne looking for Rick's body while pregnant, Michonne kicking ass while pregnant, Michonne switching into beast mode while pregnant. I love kids, but I totally agree with Michonne that I would cut anyone. Wait, I totally agree with Michonne that I would cut anyone who tried to harm them. What is that? Okay. It's one thing to have strength to fight, but to be cut, branded, and beaten and be pregnant gives all justification for retribution in my book. I'm surprised she was strong enough to walk away from the fight. I'm proud of the decision she made to cut off the other communities. They aren't the small, close-knit group anymore, people, so move on. Things change, people change, life goes on. Judith, okay, I'm torn. On one hand, she is trying to show wisdom, but on the other hand, she is a child. Children like Henry and Judith are not able to understand this type of world. I think one day with Alpha's crew is enough to wash that innocence off of Judith. Henry, not so much. I admire Judith. She has Carl's idealism, Michonne's self-certainty, and Rick's knack for leadership. But I have a feeling she's going to get someone killed. Henry, I hope Carol shows him the flowers. He is not helping anyone right now. Do you think Michonne will be killed off or just leave? My mind is calculating all the possibilities, but someone has to die in two more episodes, and I can't figure it out. Any thoughts? Talk to you all next episode. Michonne ain't dying.
No.
She's leaving.
She's going to the movies.
She's definitely not dying. She's certain. I mean, she's like an unkillable character. Like, I just don't see any way that would make any sense whatsoever to kill Michonne off. She's got to go to the movies. Like,
yeah.
That would be the cheapest, lowest blow that they could possibly take, would be to kill her off without having some resolution there with Rick and reuniting with him. Now Rosita.
Right.
Somebody like that, you know, and they might get the boot. Yeah.
And the King.
Father Gabriel, I'm looking at you. Oh, the King definitely died. Because he just out here doing stupid stuff.
Tara
with a smile on his face. Yeah. Like, get out of here.
Tara's probably going to go. The Kang. I feel like it's not going to be Tara and Rosita. It has to be either or.
Yeah.
It's going to be either or.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Kang got to go.
It's going to be Rosita. Yeah. Ain't it? Probably.
Yeah. Because I just don't know what they're doing with Rosita. Like, I don't understand what's going on with her. She really hasn't had I don't know if she's ever really had a strong storyline, or does she just kind of interweave in the back of other things that are going on?
Yeah. Basically.
And now this whole, like, you know, baby daddy triangle thing that they've got going on and stuff. I'm like, I mean, I like Rosita, but I feel like if she dies, I won't really miss her because we don't really see her.
Right. Mm-hmm.
No. Like, she just kind of pops up every now and then, you know? I mean, I definitely won't miss Tara if Tara dies, because she's just, I don't know what she's doing. And I could see where that would make sense, especially now that they're kind of, I feel like they're going down this path of positioning Daryl to kind of take over some of that Hilltop responsibility or whatever. So I could see if maybe Tara dies, that would be like the push, which, I mean, I don't necessarily like it when a character, especially a woman, dies to propel a man's story. I don't necessarily care for that, but I kind of feel like that might be where they go with that if she actually ends up dying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause nobody knows what's going on with Maggie. Like, is she coming back from Whiskey Cavalier land? Or, I mean, I don't know what's going on there.
Is that show still on? I don't even
know. That's your favorite show, Mel. Oh, I thought you liked that show.
Don't ever miss it on whatever night it comes on. I don't ever miss it. Our last one comes from Mercedes, who we also haven't heard from in a while. Mercedes says, "Hi, ladies. I first want to give Danai all the awards. She was amazing. I had a series of emotions during tonight's episode. They open with the song Souvenir by Boy Genius while Michonne was looking for Rick had me in my feels. I think the best kept secret of the season so far was Rutina Wesley's appearance. I was not expecting to see her at all. The dynamic between Jocelyn and Michonne was great. They were legit friends, which was what Michonne needed at the time. Bummer that didn't last. The Walking Dead really had the children of the corn brand and slice of pregnant Michonne. That's some messed up shit. After killing all those kids, I can see why Michonne is so closed off. Michonne has gone through so much stuff for this group of ungrateful ass people in this fandom. I'm prepared for Michonne to chuck them deuces and peace out with her kids because they ain't worthy. I thought Henry and Lydia drove me nuts, but I've come to realize it's just Henry. Lydia solo isn't bad. It's Henry that I can't do without. I refuse to believe he's been raised by Carol for all these years. His level of incompetence is astounding. The Walking Dead really thinks they are doing something with this character. I'm still not convinced killing Carl was the smartest choice in order to bring in this kid. And if I have to hear second best Judith, I prefer the Garcia Frizzy twins. Give alleged sage advice to adults one more time, I'm going to scream. Are we supposed to believe a 10-year-old knows better than those who sacrificed everything so she could live? Besides that, Kaylee Fleming's acting in this episode was on point. Round of applause. Can we talk about how handsome JDM is? Yes, ma'am, we can. His character is trash, but he's gorgeous. No lies detected on that, girl.
I think this was the best episode of the season. The acting was incredible. Until next week. So there we go. There we have it.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody, for all the fun feedback. Knew we were going to have some good ones. So, yeah.
Inevitable.
Inevitable, for sure.
So are people dying next week? Is that what's going down? Is that what we think?
Sometime.
I feel like it's coming. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's definitely going to be some stuff going down, people dying. I mean, because I feel like episode 16 will probably be maybe them starting to kind of look at the aftermath of that and getting ready to gear up for this next bout of war that they've got to go through. I just wonder how. Yeah, I saw the preview. I'm just like, I'm just wondering. I'm like, I mean, because there are certain people you know aren't dying just for certain reasons because the actors have contracts, right. And, you know, and all of this stuff or whatever. But I'm just wondering. I'm like, how are you getting out of this?
Well,
we shall see.
In fact, we shall. Mm-hmm. Are we doing our normal thing? Are we going to watch?
Oh, I can't really set it up.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, then no previews. No previews this week, guys. All right. Well, does anybody have any closing arguments about Scars?
Nope. I think I'm pretty good. Like I said, I mean, for me, it was just a mixed bag. I mean, I enjoyed the actual performances and the acting and everything like that. But why? I mean, the whole storyline just didn't really make any sense, and it didn't push anything forward for me. So I just don't understand what we were supposed to get out of that. And I end up coming out of it with, like Kia said, I got more questions now than I really have answers about anything.
Yep. Yeah. And I'm not going to get these answers. So it's just like,
we are not. We are not. So if you came here looking for answers, sorry, we have none for you. But next week, hopefully, I guess we'll just see what happens at the fair. I'm so ready to be done with this fucking fair, you guys. I can't even deal. So, well, thank you again, Ty, for joining us on this awesome episode.
Yay, thank you.
Where can the people find you? Did we already say that? I don't think we did. Like, follow you.
No, I don't think so. I am on Twitter at Ty Gooden. I'm on Instagram at Writer Ty Gooden. And I would direct people to my website, but I am terrible about updating it. So don't go there, because you may see something from like 6 months ago. That's probably the last time. Yeah. And you could, if you're trying to check out my work or anything like that, I'm on Hypeable, I'm on Bustle, and I've been doing some stuff lately for Sci-Fi Fangirls.
Awesome.
Yay.
Yes.
All right, guys. That's it for this week. We'll see you guys next week.